And what a wonderful, wonderful story it is. To know that God is our Savior, know that He sent His Son in order to save us from our sins, knowing that the Holy Spirit inspired men to write the word down so that we may have it. If we would only continue to do the things that are right before God, we will have a home in heaven. And if you have not yet begun to do the things that are right, we would like for you to consider those things on this evening and ensure that your life is right with our Father who is above. Again, in Matthew chapter 11, the words of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in Matthew 11:28-30, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me." When we look in the scriptures and we see a passage such as this, looking at what God wants us to do, the great invitation to come, and not just to anybody or anywhere, but coming to God, we should not help but to think about our lives and think about, have we really and truly put all that we have into knowing who God is, and realizing the importance of doing all that He wants us to do? Come unto me. As we think about coming unto Him, we have to think, why is this invitation given? To come unto the Lord. Well, we find the reason why this invitation is there is because man has departed from God, or man departs from God. As little children, as we look at some of these scripture references, as little children, we were right where we needed to be, in our mother's arms, in our father's arms, in their care, but we were with God. Parents have, in many cases, have ceased to teach their children, as little ones, the importance of staying close to God. You remember when some of us were little and we were afraid of certain things, how our parents would tell us to pray to God, to call upon Jesus, and He would protect them. Now is go to sleep. Close your mouth. Get a nightlight. Do this, do that, and the other. God is nowhere in the picture. So you wonder why our children do not obey the gospel. Do you wonder why we have so many children that are running the streets without any guidance? It's because there's no guidance in the home. So, yes, the Great Commission is there, or the great invitation is there to come. And the Great Commission is for us to go. to invite others to come to the Lord. So we're going to look at a few of these scripture references. We're not going to look at all of them. Let's start with Romans chapter 3 and the verse is 23. Romans chapter 3 and the verse is 23. Why do we have the invitation to come? Well, Romans 3:23 tells us that the reason why we need to come to God is because not some, not most, but all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have fallen short of the glory of God. When we realize what can happen when we come to God, then there should be more moving toward Him. When we realize what will happen if we don't come to God, we should have more moving toward Him. So Romans 6:23 points both of those out. What will happen if we don't come to God, and what will happen if we come to Him? He says in Romans 6:23, as Paul writes to the church of Rome, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So right there, we should say, I do not want death. I've worked hard for what I have. I do not want death. But again, if you're working hard for what you have in order to have life and you don't want death, you have to realize that those people that are working hard not to do what's right are going to receive wages as well. But man has departed from God. Man has ceased to do the things that God wants him to do. And what we look at when we realize this, it is not about so much the next man, but it's about each one of us. As we look into the perfect law of liberty, as we look in the Word of God, we realize that we have not done all that we have needed to do. And we need to do better. In Romans chapter 3, the verse is 10 through 12. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Start with verse 9. What then? Oh, are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All, he says, have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. So it's not just about the Jews whom Jesus came to seek and to save. It is not just because of the Jews that he was to be born to save them from their sins, but it's about us as well. The Jew as well as the Greek. Paul points that out in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Verse 15. For us, he says, I'm ready as much as in me is to preach the gospel at Rome also. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So who sinned? All have sinned. And if all have sinned, who needs God? All need God. He points out, and we're not going to read the whole thing there in Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2, but it's because of sin that we are separated away from God. And if sin is what separates us away from God, we need to do the things that are going to bring us back to God. And the thing that's going to bring us back to God is the Word of Life. The Word of Life. Come down. The Word of Life is going to bring us back to God. And if the Word of Life brings us back to God, then we're going to do the things that are right before Him. So it's not because of someone else that we're separated away from God, but it's because of what we have done that separates us away from God. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20 points that out. Ezekiel 18, verse 20 points that out. The soul that sins is the one that dies. The son does not have to give an account of what the father has done, nor does the father give an account what the son has done. But it's what each one of us do that gets us into trouble. That's a very good scripture reference to come as it came, did it not? Because when it's all said and done, one would say it wasn't me, and the other one would say it wasn't me, but yet it was both. So that's who gets in trouble, is the one that does wrong. I believe that we need to look at our lives. And we need to do a self-examination and ask ourselves, have I departed away from God? Man can come back to God, though. That's the good thing about this. We have an opportunity to redeem ourselves because of what God has done. Because what he has sent his son to do. We have this right to come back to him. In Matthew chapter 23, in the verse is 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you are not willing. See, we can come back to God, but what do we have to do? We have to be willing. We have to be willing to make a sacrifice, because God has sent the ultimate sacrifice, and Jesus has sacrificed his life, or they sacrificed him in order that we may live. But you have to be willing. Or are you willing to come to Christ? Or are you willing to submit to his word, to submit to his authority? See, this is important that we realize, yeah, I'm away from him, but I can come back to him. I can come back. 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verse is 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verse is 9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So we can come back. And guess this, as we look at it, God is patient, he says. Not willing that anybody should suffer. You know, parents sometimes, they're patient with their children. Do you think that it makes parents feel good when they have to discipline their children? Do you think that they say, oh man, I just can't wait to discipline that child? No, parents are patient. They just stand back sometimes and they watch those children. They watch their children and hope that they will stop doing the things that they're doing, that they will remember their obedience and how they're supposed to conduct themselves and just do what's right. But sometimes parent has to step in. But when we look at this scripture reference right here, when God steps in, it's going to be too late. It is going to be too late. Because look what it says once again. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. If they do not reach repentance, they will perish. If we do not reach repentance, we will perish. Well, what did Peter tell Simon the sorcerer? May your money perish with you. You need to have part nor lot in this matter. May your money perish with you. And Simon the sorcerer did not want to perish with his money. Pray that those things may not happen to me. See, we need to be praying for some people. Amen. Praying not only for people, but we need to be praying for ourselves, that we may get right with God, that we may stay right with God. Amen. And so although man has departed from God, man has the opportunity to come back to God. Amen. the great invitation once again, come unto me. You think Jesus was saying that just to be saying it? You think that the great commission was given to the apostles just to be given it to them and them to pass it along to others just to be passing it along? No, it's for a reason. And the reason is that we may reach the place where God wants us to be.
Amen.
I talked this morning about being saved. Talked about remaining saved. Talked about the future salvation. See, that's what God wants for us, the future salvation. Let's go back one more time and read Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Just one more time. And then later I'll say one more time. But look at it once again. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The Lord is not telling a lie right here. The Lord has never lied to anybody. So we need to look at this, and we need to say, I need to come to the Lord. I need to come to the Lord because the Lord is always there. He's waiting on man to do what's right. So man must come to God. Where is God? He's right here. He's waiting on man. Have you ever waited on somebody and waited on them? And you finally, you get tired of waiting and you drive off and they give you a call and they say, where are you at? You say, I was in front of your house. They say, no, I was waiting on you. No, you were not. Or you went to pick up that person for work and you call them and what they do is when they see you drive up, they peep out the door just to let you know that they see you, but yet they go back in and do whatever they want to do and want you to wait and wait and wait. And sometimes you just got to drive off and leave them. But you know, God is waiting on man. He's waiting on man to do what is right. He's waiting on man to come to him. He's waiting on man to make up in his mind to be willing to be obedient. In Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, we look at Romans chapter 1 and we examine the things that are going on here. And we're going to read just a little bit more than verse 21. We're going to go back up to verse 16 in Romans chapter 1. Again, as Paul states, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. In verse 18 of Romans 1, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. So where is God? He's right there. He is showing them everything they need in order to have salvation. He's showing them everything, or has shown them everything that they need in order to remain saved. But look what it says there in verse 20. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. Ever since the creation of the world. Adam, he saw all that God had done. Adam received the message of God. He received his instruction, and he carried through with some of those things. And he passed that information on to Eve. How do I know? Because of what Eve told the serpent. See, it wasn't Adam the only one that knew that he was not supposed to eat from that tree, but he passed that information on to Eve. And as he passed that information on to Eve, Eve did what was wrong and gave to her husband, and he did what was wrong. So from the creation, His power has been seen. The Bible says, ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so that they are, right there back in 20, so that they are without excuse. Don't have an excuse. Well, I did it because of this, or I did it because of that. It was, what did Adam say? That woman you gave me. What did Eve say? It was the serpent. No excuse. I'm not going to accept that. This is God. No problem, Adam, because of your sin, because of what you have done, this is what's going to happen to you. Now you have to work by the sweat of your brow. You have to work the ground. Eve, your given birth is going to be multiplied with pain. Serpent, you're going to be on your belly for eternity. That's where you're going to be. Don't worry about nothing else. Here's your punishments. So I'm not accepting any excuses. No notes from home. We have to look at this and we have to understand who our God is. Now, verse 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God, or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkening. They knew God, but they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Knowing that he's everywhere, that he sees everything. But you know, we're the same way today. As God is waiting on man to come to him, he's watching. He's waiting. The Bible says again, he's patient. He's patient. He's not giving up on us. Yes, the Bible says this, reference to these people, that God gave them up to a reprobate mind, to a worthless mind. He gave them up. But you know where he was? He was still right there waiting on them to quit doing the things that they were doing. Some will, some won't. The ones that will, again, they have salvation. The ones that won't, they're going to have damnation. So we have to do what's right before him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we ain't going to get there. But as we look at 1 Corinthians 5, it talks about this man that's away from God. And as it talks about him away from God, we need to understand that we have to come back to him. And we have to come back to him because, again, he has not moved. So coming back to him is going to require us to do some things. It's going to require us to behave in a certain manner. This man in Matthew, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, this man that had his father's wife was away from God. He was a child of God, but yet he was away from God. See, we've had some children to leave home, and they need to come back. Some of God's children have left home, and they need to come back. And by coming back, they get their lives right with him. But the Bible tells us, as this man is away from God, what we need to do. It says in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 5, God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. See, God is not moving. He's not moving. He tells us to purge this evil person from amongst them. He tells us to do the same today. So we use this and we look at it and get an understanding what we need to do. We do what's right before God. We turn this person over to Satan. And again, God is right there, and what God is waiting on, he's waiting on this man. He's waiting on us to come back. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 in verse 10. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. He's waiting on man to come back to him. He's waiting on man to make up in his mind to do the things that are right. So what are we going to do? Why are we going to do it? Again, looking at this and understanding that man has departed away from God. Looking at this and understanding that we need to come to him. looking at where God is and understanding that we don't have far to go because he's right there. See, sometimes we think, oh man, it's a long journey to God. It's a long journey to him. And what happens when we look at it that way, we think about all the things that we need to correct before we come to him. See, he's there to help us. His word guides us. Other people help us. They encourage us to do the things that are right. So we look at it and we think about it. And we find that there are great benefits in coming to God. Great benefits. Great benefits. You know, when we talk about the benefits that we have on our jobs, the 401k that we have, the thrift saving plan that we have, we think about all of these benefits. And we never think about the greatest benefit that we could ever have, and that is being a child of God and remaining steadfast, doing what God has said. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, we find these words in verse 15. Good sense wins favor, but the way of the treacherous is their ruin. Isn't that what we want to people to say about us, that we have good sense? That we have made some good decisions, some wise decisions. And he says, again, good sense wins favor. God is looking. You make the right choice. What is he going to do? He is going to favor you. He's going to give you something. Noah had good sense. Noah received favor. He received, God saw this as grace from God. He looked down at what Noah was doing, and he was pleased with those things. Found favor in the eyes of God. Job, have you, as he talks to the devil, have you considered my servant Job, who's a just and upright man, one that shuns evil? He fears God. He respects him. Great benefits in coming to God. Job, the Bible says at the end of his life, he received more. Noah received salvation by entering into the ark. You and I can get something from God. But you know what we have to do? We have to give something. We have to make some sacrifices. We have to understand, and we have to come to the knowledge and say, you know, I see that I am not where God wants me to be. I'm outside the fold, and I need to come in. I need to answer that call. And I need to know that when I get ready to answer that call, that God is going to be right there waiting on me. And when I come in, this gift that he has promised, I'm going to receive it. Salvation. Salvation. And again, there are great benefits in the book of 1 John, chapter 5. Great benefits by coming to God. Are you willing to come to him? Are you willing to do what's right? We start with verse 1 in 1 John, chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. They are not too heavy. They are not grievous. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So again, there are great benefits in coming to God. Being one of his children, being able to obey his commands, and being able to accept all that he has promised to us. Being able to accept those things. Are you willing this evening to come to him? Or are you willing this evening to remain one of his children? Or are you willing this evening to just put aside those things of the world and accept the things of God? See, the benefits that we look at here, yeah, we have family. But the greatest benefit of all is being able to wait on that day and being told, enter in, my good and faithful servant. That's the greatest benefit of all. The greatest benefit of all. See, some things you don't see, but you just look forward to them. So how have we overcome the world? It's by our faith. Living for God. Doing the things that are right. So if you're here this evening and you're not one of God's children and you want to become one, the opportunity is yours to come and to make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Your opportunity to come and to confess your sin if you have strayed away from Him. The alien sinner, the one that has never come to Him, you have to be baptized for the remission of your sin. The erring sinner, all you have to do is confess. All you have to do is repent and live the way God wants you to live. If you're here and you're subject unto the invitation, we ask you to please come unto Him.